141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers continue their pursuit of Antonio Colak. Christopher Julian's closing in on a move to Schalke, and Scotland's women reach the World Cup playoffs. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Roger Hanna.
Yeah, through these summer weeks, Andrew, we sort of tick things off as we go. And they're always landmarks towards the proper stuff starting. And I think when you get the teams back, you see Celtic and Rangers back into pre-season training at the start of the week. A few of the teams already overseas at a training camp. Celtic Rangers go overseas next week, and then next week we'll kick off the first of the pre-season friendlies.
And with every day that goes by, every landmark that goes by, the fans are wanting to see signings. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, of course it is, and every club wants to make signings. I think someone was telling me the other day, 41 of the 42 teams, with the exception of poor old Hamilton Accies, haven't made an incoming signing yet. They're the only one. So supporters like that, that keeps them going through the summer months. A few decent deals have been done. Some clubs have done quite a bit, in fact. But the real big ones will come between now and probably about midnight on August the 31st.
Yeah, well, at least Hamilton have a new manager now, so yeah, maybe the business will get sorted now. But anyway, we want to hear from you at home. 01419511025. Whatever is on your mind, whether it's transfers, whether it's pre-season, whatever's going on at your club, we want to hear from you. 01419511025. Or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. There's been a lot of transfer speculation going about in the last few weeks, Roger. It ramps up with every day that goes by, as I said earlier on. One of the stories that we've heard a lot of in the past week or so is Antonio Colak potentially going to Rangers. That deal, there's been a few stories flying about today that I've seen. Certainly a couple of outlets today reporting that a fee had been agreed with PAOK for £1.8 million. I've seen reports in Greece saying that that's not the case and that PAOK are holding out for around €3 million. That's about £2.6 million. So there's certainly a bit of disparity there between the two. We know that the interest is there. The interest is solid. It's just whether Rangers can get that fee agreed and over the line and all sorted.
Yeah, listen, you know yourself, everyone has a starting point and they tend to meet in the middle. Someone was saying they were looking for €2.5 million because that was what they paid for Antonio Colak, and Rangers will start below that, PAOK will start above that, and they will probably meet somewhere in the middle. I would expect the player will become a Rangers player at some stage. There's going to be other interest in him, and that's always the case. You know, when you get to this stage, we're only at the end of June. We've still got 2 months of this transfer window to go, Andrew, so there's no rush from PAOK to sell. There's no rush for Rangers to get him in now. I think they probably would like to get him over to Portugal next week when they go there for pre-season training. The majority of Rangers' business has been re-signing players. Connor Goldson been the big one. Apart from John Souter, no real big incoming players. A lot of youth players were signed yesterday. I noticed Cole McKinnon's got a new deal today. You know, they're doing a lot of business like that. But the fans want to see the big names coming in, and Antonio Colak may well be the next one coming in the next few days.
As soon as supporters hear a name linked, I think the first thing they want is the player through the door as soon as possible. But we know it's not as easy as that, especially if two clubs are standing firm and what they feel their valuation of the player is, then sometimes it can drag on a bit. But as you say, it's the 29th of June at the moment. Rangers don't have a competitive game until, what's that, just under a month now, until the qualifiers, Champions League qualifiers kick off. So I'm not sure it'll be one that Rangers will be panicking too much about.
No, they won't be, because you would expect Alfredo Morelos and Kemar Roof both to be fit for that game. It's not as if either of those players have been sold and they're expecting Colak to come in and lead the line for the Champions League qualifiers. I don't think that'll be the case at all. He's a guy who's coming in to add a little bit more depth to that striking department. Cedric Eaton headed back to Switzerland after the cup final. He's one to want to get in, but I don't think there's any huge rush at the minute.
Yeah, Rangers fans, let us know what you think. 01419511025. Or fans of any other club, if you want to let us know what you think of your transfer business so far, what would you like to see your club do, give us a call. 01419511025. You bring up Cedric Eaton there, Roger, who's gone back to Switzerland. His move at Rangers didn't quite work out, ended up out on loan in Germany last season, and in the second half of the season it was quite clear that Giovanni van Bronckhorst wasn't really going to use him much at all. He only made, was it one or two appearances towards the end of the season? But that's really what Rangers are looking for here, and Antonio Colak is an upgrade in the option they had in Cedric Eaton, because he didn't make the required impact. But we saw towards the end of the season that Rangers were having to play Joe Aribo up front when Morelos and Roof weren't available. And Giovanni Van Bronckhorst won't want that to happen again going forward. And if he can get this option in Antonio Colak, he'll hope that that's a player that he can rely on. Whether he is an option that can go in and challenge for a starting spot, or can challenge for Kamar Roof for potentially coming in as a replacement for Morelos when he's not available.
Yeah, without doubt. I think every club in the land looks to upgrade, to use your word, the squad with the summer. Rangers will look at John Souter probably as an upgrade on Leon Balogun, who's left the club in the summer. There are a lot of re-signings. You know, Alan McGregor has re-signed, so there's not that necessity that some suspected there would be to get a goalie in. Scott Arfield and Stephen Davis have got another year each, so that probably takes away the necessity to bring in another midfielder. What interests me, the loan players have gone, Aaron Ramsey, Ahmed Diallo. Does that mean Rangers will look for a right winger, or, you know, an advanced midfielder once they get the Colak deal over the line?
We saw Antonio Colak in action for Malmo at Ibrox last season, scored a couple of goals in Champions League qualifying. It's a route Rangers have gone down before, signing players that have played against them in Europe, in the early stages of Europe. It's had mixed success. They did it with Borna Barisic, and that's worked out. They did it with Eros Grezda. That's not quite worked out. There's no recipe to say whether it's definitely going to work out or not, but I think Rangers fans will have been impressed by his performance at Ibrox.
Yeah, they would be. I don't think Rangers fans were particularly impressed by the conduct of Eros Grezda, and judging by some videos I've seen on social media today, Antonio Colak certainly hasn't been impressed by some of the conduct of Eros Grezda over the years. But he's a good player. He can score goals. You know, I think he's a Croatian international, so you don't get caps for Croatia if you're not a decent player. He does have a sort of strange backstory. He was German born, played his youth football in Germany, started his pro career in Germany, then moved back into Croatia. He then moved to Greece. He was loaned out to Sweden. He's come back to Greece. So he's put in a lot of yards. He's had a lot of clubs. He's scored a lot of goals as well, and Rangers certainly like him.
01419511025. Let's hear from you. William is a Rangers fan up first in North Ayrshire. William, what are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, hello Andrew, hello Roger.
Hi William.
Yeah, I tried to get on last night, but obviously the show wasn't long enough. I think the biggest priority for Rangers is the three boys. It's not been tied in yet, right? What I think they should do is, right, to protect the club, is they sign for a couple of years on their contract, obviously up their wages, right? But we've been loyal to them. If somebody comes in for a bid next year, then they can get sold. Obviously, if they don't want to do that, they have to be sold this summer. But the biggest priority is they three. The quality in the Rangers squad, in my opinion, player-wise, is the best in Scotland. Celtic, last year, were the best team. They played better as a team. That's how they won the league, right? But quality, you're not a bad side if you get to European final. I just think we maybe need to get a right-sided player, but if we can tie the three down, obviously they don't, we'll have to get rid. That's my point.
Well, you may say Rangers have the better players, but Celtic were the better team. What do Rangers need to do this season then to become a better team?
Obviously don't draw as many games, you know. But I think the last 3 months I thought Rangers were fantastic. They're into the high level of European football. You get a European final, you're a very, very good side, you know. The last three games against Celtic, I think we outmuscled them, we outplayed them. I thought Celtic were very fortunate to get away with a victory at Ibrox, even though they won, because we absolutely battered them. We should have beat them at Parkhead. We beat them comfortably, in my opinion, in the Scottish Cup semi-final. So we just need to, I think Van Bronckhorst's been there a year, the whole year, get his pre-season. I think it'll be a lot better. If we can get one or two additions, the boy Colak, I'm not really too sure, but he scored 2 goals against us last year, so if Van Bronckhorst thinks he's quite good, just get him in.
William's saying the priority there is the contract situations of Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent and Joe Aribo. I think a lot of Rangers fans would think the same. William was saying, you know, just sign them on 2-year deals and then can deal with it next summer. I'm sure Rangers would love if it was that easy, that the three players would just agree to new 2-year deals and that was them sorted for the season. But there's clearly a lot that Rangers have to juggle this summer when it comes to these three players, because we don't know whether the players want to stay, we don't know whether the players want to go. Rangers probably don't really have too much of a say in who stays and who goes, because it's up to the players and it's up to other clubs and what interest they have in those players as well, Roger.
Yeah, and I don't think Rangers would countering, getting to the situation that they did with Conor Goldson in the summer, where, you know, the contract went to the last few days before he signed a 4-year extension. It's going to be fascinating to see. I'm quite sure the Rangers recruitment department, headed by Ross Wilson, have a list of replacements for Morelos lined up, a list of replacements for Kent lined up, a list of replacements for Aribo lined up, in case, when we're sitting here, you said, Andrew, June 29, in case we're sitting here on August the 29th still having these debates, and there's every possibility that is going to be the case. You know, you see the movement right at the end of the transfer windows. Will Rangers be in the Champions League groups by then? Will they be back in the Europa League by then? I can see this situation going on right until the end of the window. Will any of them stay? We just don't know. There hasn't been huge interest. I think Leeds were interested in Kent a couple of seasons ago when Marcelo Bielsa was still there. There have been a couple of tentative offers, nothing that tempted Rangers on Morelos, and I'm not even sure there's been an offer for Joe Aribo in all the time he's been there, albeit there's interest now from Nottingham Forest and Crystal Palace and Fulham, but that hasn't materialised any bids yet. So it's going to be, as William says, an awkward time for Rangers, and I don't think clubs like it when they don't have full control of the situation. And at the minute, Rangers don't have full control of the situation regarding those three players.
William, where are your confidence levels when it comes to trying to keep a hold of those three players this summer?
Well, the European run, right, we made, Roger will maybe quote me in this, between 40 to 50 million quid on our run. So we can offer them wages, you know what I mean? They should be, as I've stated, they should be loyal to the club. We were loyal to them. We brought them to this great club. You know what I mean? They're playing brilliant football. Their profiles are up. I think Aribo and your Bassies and your Morelos are all internationalists now. So they sign on. If they want to leave, right, we've got to sell them. There's never a bit. We've got to sell them. But if they want to stay, we'll just stay for another 2 years. Then if the big bids come in, then we'll sell them.
William's talking about loyalty there, but it works both ways, Roger. In football, sometimes players will feel that they maybe have a loyalty to clubs, sometimes players will feel they have a loyalty to players, but we see it sometimes that players want to force a move out of a club, we see it sometimes that clubs want a player out of the club. So it's tough to say generally about loyalty in football, but it will just come down to the individual situations of each of these players, which could all be very different come the end of summer.
Listen, there is no loyalty in football. Let's not anybody be kidded about this. You can ask this when he starts back at the start of next season. Ask Fraser Wishart about loyalty in football and whether players should be loyal to the clubs, because he will give you plenty of examples that clubs haven't been loyal to players and have pushed players out the door or have freed players and left them with uncertain futures. So Fraser's take on it would be Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent and Joe Aribo have short careers. They need to do what they deem best for themselves and their families. Conor Goldson has decided that best for him and his family is to sign a 4-year deal and to stay at Rangers. And that will take him till he's 33 years of age. He's devoting the best years of his career to Rangers. Maybe Morelos and Kent and Aribo will do the same. They might decide that there's an offer on the table, there's a pay rise there for them, they like it here, they can fulfil all their dreams here. But it'll be fascinating to see how it all shakes down.
William, Rangers are looking for another striker. If they can get that over the line, where are the other areas in the team that you think are a priority?
I think, as I speak to your producer, I think the right, Roger will probably agree with him, the right hand side. But you look at your man right at the end of the season, starred in the European final, played quite well, brilliant in the Scottish Cup final when he came on. He might solve that problem. Hadji's coming back, but if they can find a winger in Kent's calibre on the right-hand side, it'd be very good for Rangers.
Rangers did spend £7 million on Ryan Kent, so it was big money to get a player of his calibre on the left side, but that right side seems to be a problem that Rangers have had for quite a while, because they've not had a player like Ryan Kent that is a stalwart in that position. They've chopped and changed between Gerrard and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. They've both done it as well. They've played different types of player in that position, and it really has been a bit of a problem area that's never really been solved over the years.
The last orthodox right winger was probably Daniel Candeias back in the day. When he moved to Turkey, he was never replaced like for like. You know, Yanis Hadji did a good job out there, but you wouldn't really see Yanis Hadji's a right winger. He's more of a sort of number 10 who sort of played in off the side. When Joe Aribo's been up there, he's done the same. Aaron Ramsey was tried there. Amad Diallo was brought in as a right winger, but after that great start at Ross County, he just didn't really kick on, Andrew, did he? So it'll be interesting to see what Rangers do, because I tend to agree, you know, Kent, for £7 million, I think Kent's done a good job for Rangers. Could they get someone of that quality on the other side?
William's saying Scott Wright, is he potentially the answer? He obviously put in some good performances towards the end of the season, but Rangers haven't seen that consistently over his time at the club.
There was a spell, actually, after Giovanni Van Bronckhorst took charge, where he sort of disappeared from the squad altogether. And fair play to Scott Wright. You know, he obviously got his head down, worked hard, caught the manager's eye, got his chance, and, you know, he took his chance. He played semi-final against Leipzig. He played the final against Frankfurt. He played the Scottish Cup final, scored the goal in the Scottish Cup final against Hearts. And he was beginning to show real promise. So it'll be interesting to see if he's got another level that he can go to. Because if he does, listen, you know, there's a lot there for Scott Wright, not only from a Rangers perspective, possibly from a Scotland perspective as well.
Well, thank you to William. After the break, we'll be taking a look at Christopher Julien's situation at Celtic. It looks as if he may well be out the door in the coming days. Give us a call, 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. I was just looking at Twitter there, and what's popped up in my feed is the Park starting lineup for their friendly against Go Ahead Eagles, and there's no sign of Colac anywhere in the team, although they don't have the substitutes listed on there, so it could be one of these where they end up making 11 changes at half time and he shows up. But that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on, Roger.
Yeah, listen, he's a guy in the centre of transfer negotiations. It doesn't surprise me at all he's not in the starting lineup. As you say, we haven't seen the subs. I would be surprised if he was on the bench, because I would think a move for Antonio Colac, presumably to Rangers, is imminent.
Something else that amused me on Twitter earlier on, I know fans always like to see leaked football kits and what the kit for the new season is going to look like for their team. There's a couple of pictures doing the rounds of what could potentially be Partick Thistle's kit for the new season. I think you've seen it as well, Roger.
Yes.
We all know Kingsley, the Partick Thistle mascot, who is, I was going to say famous or infamous in his own way, that he appears to be, if this is legitimate, just his face, huge on the front of the Partick Thistle kit for this season.
Well, I said to you before the show, I cannot believe this to be the case. However, if it is, there's only one thing we can do. You know, if Celtic had a kit like this, producer Callum would send Celtic's Mark Wilson to model it. If it was a Motherwell or St Mirren kit, we'd send former Motherwell and St Mirren man Fraser Wishart to model it. If it's a Hearts kit, we'd send Andy Halliday. A Livy kit, we'd send Marvin Bartley. As far as I know, producer Callum, we only have one former Partick Thistle man on the premises. If Kingsley's in the front of the shirt, we need Gordon Dale to model it.
Absolutely, that needs to happen. That needs to happen. And I think, you know what, I think they're revealing it at 10 a.m. on Friday, this new kit. That's what they've tweeted out, so I'm sure we can pull a few strings and get that sorted.
Callum, I'll check Daz's availability for Friday morning.
Well, if you've got anything else on your mind, 01419511025. Celtic fans, maybe you've got an opinion on this, because it looks as if Christopher Julien has taken a big step towards his Celtic exit. The defender's flown to Germany, so he's closing in, it looks, on a move to Bundesliga side Schalke and a season-long loan deal. It looks like Schalke could also have the option to buy Julien next summer, as Celtic are likely to trigger an automatic contract extension. So his current deal at Celtic is set to run out next summer, but as part of this deal, Celtic may look to extend that deal by another year, and that would allow them to sell him next summer instead of him leaving on a free. I think it's been evident for quite a while since he came back from injury, Roger, that he's not been part of Ange Postecoglou's plans.
It's been difficult for him to get into the team. You know, he was injured a long time. By the time he came back, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Carl Starfelt had cemented a central defensive partnership there. You know, it wasn't just Christopher Julien that was missing out. Stephen Welsh didn't get a sniff. Liam Scales didn't get a sniff there either. And when Celtic are going on to win the league and going on to win the League Cup, it's very difficult to mount an argument that Christopher Julien should have been in the team. So
even on the bench, though, there was quite a big chunk of the end of the season where Julien was struggling to even make it on the bench as a £7 million signing. Well, it's maybe not something you see every day in Scotland.
Yeah, but listen, if you're Ange Postecoglou, your argument would be, listen, I didn't pay £7 million for him. He hasn't played in any of my teams because he's been injured. Carter Vickers and Starfelt have never let me down. Stephen Welsh hasn't let me down. So they're the guys in possession, and they saw the season out. I can understand Christopher Julian being frustrated. He's a guy who throughout his career had been a first choice centre half. It was a first choice alongside, you know, Christopher Ayer for a long time in a successful Celtic team. And there would probably be a belief on his behalf that he would come straight back into the team. So when he doesn't come into the team, there's going to be frustration. I know there was interest in him from France to go back to the French league, where he made such a big impact with Toulouse and other teams. But Schalke are a good name. They're trying to restore their reputation in German football after a barren 2 or 3 years. You could see why it would be an exciting move for him.
The way this deal looks like it's going to be structured could be seen as a bit of a risk from Celtic, because yes, they're loaning him out for this season, and that would mean that he will be off the wage bill to some extent. We don't know how much of his wage Schalke will be paying, but if Celtic are unable to recoup what they want for him in terms of a transfer fee this summer, it looks as if what they're doing is essentially loaning him out in the hope that he has a good season and they can recoup more money next summer than they would be able to this summer.
Listen, it's a difficult one. I can understand the thought process. In current market terms, what would Christopher Julien be worth? You know, he hasn't really played first team football for 18 months. So you can imagine if you're Schalke and you're looking at that fact, you're thinking, well, I think we'll take him on loan first, see how well he does. If he has another season beset with fitness or form issues, he can go back to Celtic. If he does really well for us and we want to keep him, we will pay you money. Look at Celtic and Carter Vickers last season. You know, that loan turned into a terrific deal for everybody. Celtic got a very good player. The lad himself got a really good move, and Spurs got an awful lot of money. So maybe Julian and Schalke and Celtic in 12 months' time will be looking at a permanent deal that suits all of them.
It also leaves a gap in the Celtic squad as well. He wasn't available for a long time for Celtic, but they did have Nir Beaton, who could go back there and fill in at centre-back. But with him gone, and Liam Scales as well on loan to Aberdeen, you've got Cameron Carter-Vickers, you've got Carl Starfelt, you've got Stephen Welsh, and beyond that, there's not really many options. I know Celtic rate Dean Murray very highly, and he got some game time at the start of last season, but you'd think there may need to be another senior option that would come in there.
Yeah, without doubt. There will be, you know, if Julian goes on top of Beaton and Scales going, there will be another centre-half signed, there's no doubt about that. Even just in terms of numbers, even if it's not someone who's immediately going to oust either Starfelt or Carter-Vickers. You saw Starfelt getting injured for Sweden at the tail end of the season in the Nations League game. That's all it takes. You know, an injury, centre half sometimes gets sent off. So with a season, the way Celtic's season is going to be, Champions League group games, the defence of the title, the defence of the League Cup, they will want the strength and depth in every department, and I don't think they'll go into the season with three centre halves.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. John is a Celtic fan up next. John, what are you making of this Julian situation?
Hi, even Roger, Andrew.
Hey, John.
Well, as you know, Roger, obviously I'm on quite a bit, and I'm not a fan of Julian. And as I was trying to get on last night, and it was my point was, and that's why I'm asking you, obviously, if you know anything about it. I've heard from a good source that Liverpool are willing to let this Ben Davies come and loan for a year. They've got the same situation with Carter Vickers, good option of buying him. And so I think he'd be a good addition to the squad. Obviously, he chose Liverpool the last time. You couldn't actually bring with the guy for doing that. But I hope for Julian's sake, it does well for the guy, you know what I mean? But and it'll be good for Celtic. But I just want to know if you've heard anything about the Ben Davies one.
They'll certainly let him go. I think they would let him go either on loan. I think Liverpool's preference would probably be to let him go on a permanent basis. He was out on loan there at Sheffield United for a spell of last season. Did fine. And I think clubs like Sheffield United and Championship clubs in England would be interested in Ben Davies. He was terrific at Preston. As you say, John, it looked as if he was coming to Celtic. And then Celtic's misfortune was Liverpool had a horrendous run of injuries, if you remember, to centre-halves. I think they had about 5 or 6 centre-halves out at the time. They were playing, I think there were games like Fabinho and Jordan Henderson were playing together at the back at that stage. And they just took Ben Davies because they could. And then as soon as he came to the club, just his luck would be the centre-half started getting fit again, and people like Nathaniel Phillips came in, and you know Reece Williams came in, and Ben Davies just didn't get a look in. And maybe, you know, he'll say, as you said, he couldn't knock back Liverpool. You wonder in quieter moments if he wishes he had knocked back Liverpool and had come to Celtic at the time.
As I said, I think it'd be. I heard for quite a good source that this Liverpool would go let him come on loan with option to buying him. I don't know what a fee was agreed, but I think he'd be a good signing. As I say, hopefully Big Julian does well, and obviously it'll be good for Celtic if he does well, as you said there a minute ago. But as I said, I just hope Julian goes. I don't like the guy. I don't think he's physical enough for their league. And I'd like Ben Davies to come in on loan. I think he'd be a good, or even to sign him.
I bet you liked him after that League Cup final, John.
That's a long time ago, Roger.
John's saying that he wouldn't mind Ben Davies coming in on loan. We've seen that Ange Postecoglou's had success in bringing in players on loan. It happened with Cameron Carter-Vickers, yeah. It happened with Jota. These loan-to-buy deals that essentially trying before you buy, set a fee before it, and then you can kind of delay the spend until the next summer.
I know what you mean. It's interesting. And you listen to a couple of Ange Postecoglou's interviews pre-season, and I think what he's trying to say is, last season we desperately needed to get players in. You know, he was saying we needed to get just numbers in. We knew that players were leaving, and I think by that, you know, the likes of Brown had already left Celtic, and I think the manager knew that Edward was going, Christie was going, Ayer was going, and he could see down the road that even just numbers to bolster the squad in terms of numbers, he needed to get players in, and he was getting them in by hook or by crook, whether that was loans, whether it was permanent signings. He just wanted players in the door, Andrew. Come January, it was noticeable that he was a little bit more picky in who he brought in. And you could argue Maida was a loan, but it was one that was always going to be turned into a permanent deal. There was no option with that there. But, you know, O'Reilly came in, Atati came in, and he was more definite in who he took and what he wanted. And there were permanent signings all on long-term contracts. I would think the majority of players who come into Celtic between now and the end of August will be permanent signings on long-term contracts that Ange Postecoglou thinks can bolster their squad. There might well be a loan signing, you know, there might just be one loan signing, maybe it will be Ben Davies. I wouldn't rule out Celtic going for Ben Davies on a permanent deal.
And we saw in January as well that Ange Postecoglou got his business done very early. He had three players in the door, I think, before the transfer window had even opened. They were announced: Hatate, Maida and Ediguchi. And the evidence of this transfer window so far is that Ange Postecoglou is wanting to get his business done early once again. Cameron Carter-Vickers is through the door. Ben Seagrist is through the door. Bernabe and Jota look as if they could be through the door any minute now. And after that, Celtic will still have some business to do, but they'll feel as if the bulk of their business is done.
Well, listen, Rangers fans will tell you that Celtic managed to get their January business done early because they had the winter break brought forward to give them the time to do that, you know. Joking aside, they did get the business done early. And I think Ange Postecoglou strikes me as a guy who knows what he wants to do. I don't think he's the type who will necessarily be rushed into doing deals. He did an awful lot of business last year because he had to do an awful lot of business last year. He built the squad well, and he's built it so well, in fact, that not only, you know, the Celtic not need huge amounts of players, he's built it that he can just drop one in here or there. He chose to get a backup goalie. That actually surprised me. I thought he was quite content with Scott Bain. We chose to get a backup goalie. I think Alejandro Bernabe will be in days to come to challenge Greg Taylor at left back. What else? A couple of callers last week continue to talk about holding player in midfield. Mm-hmm. You can maybe see that happening. And if Julian goes out, another centre half, and then I think the rest of the business would be like for like. You know, if a player went out in a certain position, then he would go and replace him. But I think the squad's in a decent place just now.
John, are you quite content with the business that has been done so far and the business that looks as if it's going to happen, that Celtic are building a squad that's ready for the Champions League group stages?
I'm quite happy, but as I was going to ask Roger, actually the boy's name escapes me, but I think I was on last week. I asked one of the guys, one of the young boys, Roger, for Bayern Munich. I think he's a Canadian or Ghanaian. The Celtic were supposed to be interested.
Oh,
he's a little
yes.
holding midfielder.
Aye.
I was just wondering if you'd heard anything about that, because I've seen a couple of bits of him. He looks a player, know what I mean? And I think he made his Bayern Munich debut when he was 17 or something like that, but he's obviously not brought it. It'd be a hard place to break into the team, but he looks a good, it would be a good addition as a holding midfielder along with Cal McGregor.
Well, that was the thing. That was a point I made last week, John, on the show, actually. It's all very well us talking about this holding midfielder or that holding midfielder. Celtic actually have, still, even with Beaton gone, a lot of players who could fulfil that role on the premises. You know, you think of McCarthy, you think of Vidiguchi, you think of Soro. The point I made last week was, it's going to take a very good player to fill that role better than Callum McGregor fills it. And that's maybe why Celtic haven't gone so far to get anyone.
Is it maybe a case that with Tom Rogic leaving, and if there is a defensive midfielder brought in, that it allows Celtic a bit more freedom in where they play Callum McGregor in specific games, that they can bring in a holding midfielder for certain games, and Callum McGregor can push forward into that role?
Somebody made that point last week, Andrew. But if you push Callum McGregor forward, and he does that role very well, I'm not denying that, but if you push him forward, that only leaves you one other position, and you've got O'Reilly, and you've got Hatate, and you've got Turnbull. So, you know, there's a lot of players jousting for positions in there. And I tend to think Celtic will start the season with McGregor in that pivot role, and two of those three in front of him.
Well, thank you to John, 0141 951 1025, if you've got anything on your mind. Of course, a deal that we keep hearing about, Roger, is the Jota deal. It seems to be getting closer every day, although we hear that all the time. I think there was a report today in Abola, the Portuguese sports newspaper, saying that they think that the deal is going to get be concluded tomorrow, although we have heard similar noises over the last few weeks about the deal, you know, getting done by the end of each certain week. But all the signs do seem to be pointing towards that this will be a done deal at some point.
I'm glad you could tell me that, because by the time I got to RS McCall this morning, they were out of Abolas. Jota will be done. Jota will be a Celtic player. There's no doubt about it. I think for whatever reason Celtic have, they're delaying the announcement. Jota will be a Celtic player. Alejandro Bernabe will be a Celtic player. And after that, I think Celtic go out next Monday to Austria. They've got games in Austria, they've got Czech Republic, Poland. It'll be fascinating to see what else they do. But even just with those two, and Carter Vickers and Sigrist, that's still an outlay in excess of £16 million. For Celtic. And the guys who have gone out the door, I don't think any of them really get out for any huge sums of money. So it's still a decent outlay for Celtic at this time of the season, and at a time when we still probably think they're going to get a centre-half and maybe a holding midfield player to come.
I suppose that's the beauty of having guaranteed Champions League football, is that you know the money's coming in the door, you know exactly what competitions you're planning for as well.
Yeah, but in the, so many summers in the past, including last summer, when Edward and Ayer and Christie all went, you know, quite often Celtic make a sale and that bankrolls all the incoming players. You can think back to Moussa Dembele and Kieran Tierney and all the ones before them as well, and that gave them a base and they built from there. This season, other than the Champions League money, you know, they don't really have any incoming transfer revenue this summer.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025, whatever's on your mind. You could be up next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from you if you've got any thoughts on what we've talked about so far. Maybe there's something you think we've missed out. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. And it's incredible how football works sometimes, Roger, because scrolling through Twitter innocently today, and I'm seeing Umar Sadiq being linked with a £22 million move to Sevilla. What is happening?
Well, listen, there's hope for us all if something like that can happen. I genuinely thought he was a really poor player when he was at Rangers. I saw him a couple of pre-season games. Everyone remembers that, the League Cup semi-final against Aberdeen that he started, and he looked a little boy lost. But he's gone over to the continent. He has rediscovered his mojo. I think he's done well at Almeria in Spain. And
he was Darwin Nunez's replacement there as well.
And I mean, there does seem to be genuine interest, and I'm not just from Sevilla, but I think you mentioned him at Benfica. Ajax were spoken about him as they're looking for a replacement for Sebastian Haller, who's gone to Dortmund. So there's no accounting for taste.
I might start doing my own pre-season somewhere, see if I can get myself a deal.
I might not go that far.
0141 951 1025, let's hear from you on any of these topics tonight. Something I wanted to take a look at happened last night. Scotland's women have secured a spot in the World Cup playoffs. So they weren't playing last night, but it was Ukraine's 2-0 victory over Hungary that guarantees a second place finish in the group. They'll now head into what looks like genuinely the most complicated playoff system I have ever seen in my life. There's about three rounds to the European section, where out of nine teams, I think two teams go through. Then the third placed team then end up going into an intercontinental playoff where one team gets through. I could not explain it to you in detail at all, but it's certainly a good opportunity to get where they want to be, back on the main stage.
And listen, without the detail, Pedro Martinez Lozano, manager, I saw coach from this afternoon, basically saying he doesn't fear anyone in the draw. Scotland were at the last World Cup, if you remember, that thrilling game against Argentina and, you know, all the other matches. And when there's a Women's Euros this summer, it's actually disappointing that they're not there. You know, you see the England squad getting named. You see Kenny Shields, an old friend of the show, naming the Northern Ireland women's squad that's going to the Euros. And you suddenly think, you know, it would have been great had we been there. So good luck to them. They deserve to get into the playoffs. It was a difficult group. And I hope Pedro's right. They don't fear anyone and they can get through.
Yeah, we had Rachel Corsi in the studio last week, and she was saying that having to sit at home and watch the Euros is the ultimate motivation. I think every player would attest to that. If you don't make it to a major tournament and you're missing out on these huge games against the best teams, that's going to hurt, and you're going to want to make amends for that.
And listen, it always hurts when you don't get to a major finals. I think it'll probably hurt more because they know the majority of the squad still are the team that was at the last World Cup. They know what it's like, the excitement of getting to a major finalist. It's a bit like Steve Clarke's squad. I think part of the disappointment of losing at home to Ukraine last month and not getting to the World Cup finals in Qatar was they'd been at the last Euros and they know what it's like to get to a major finals and they want to taste that again. So I think missing out in the Euros will be a real driving force for this team as they go into the playoffs.
Well, let's hear a bit from manager Pedro Martinez Losa.
Yeah, obviously there is one of part of the jobs that we started for, and it's good obviously to qualify for the playoffs already in advance so we can plan. And I think I'm very pleased for the players and for the staff because I know the amount of work that they have been putting on. Yeah, this team will be prepared to play the World Cup 100%, and because they already are in terms of the mentality and the work. And I hope you could see the energy of the team, the way they apply into the pitch, and we want to improve also in all details. But I think we are developing something that it can be special for the future. So I have a 4-year-old daughter. She's very excited also to come to the game, and for her daddy to play the World Cup with the team, with the Scotland. So right now, for me, it will mean my whole life because I put my 24 hours per day to Scotland with the players and with the staff. And I think that's as a leader of the group, this is my obligation.
Yeah, good luck to the women's team, those playoffs coming around in October. So a good bit of time for preparation for them. There's just a bit of breaking news that's popped up there that is of interest to some extent, because we'd seen that Josip Juranovic had been linked with a move to Atletico Madrid over the past few weeks. Roger, they've just signed a right back of their own, Emerson Royal.
No, they've made a, I think it's,
oh, they've made an offer, have they?
Yeah, but surprising, Brazilian international, but he's Tottenham's first choice right wing back in that system that Antonio Conte plays. You'd be surprised if Tottenham were willing to let a first choice player go away on a loan deal. I wonder if it's a similarly staged loan deal. You know, spoken about Christopher Julian and Schalke earlier on. I'm not so sure there would be too much, unless it's an enormous loan fee and there's an agreed, you know, fee to be paid at the end of it or something. I'm not too sure where the attraction would be there for Tottenham.
Yeah, well, Atletico Madrid, I mean, it certainly shows that they are in the market for a right back. Josip Juranovic, we saw, was linked with a move, but I think Celtic would be asking for a lot of money just based on the fact that he is a Croatian international. He is under contract for, is it another 4 years he's still got left on his deal?
Yeah, and listen, Celtic hold all the cards on this deal. We said so at the weekend. He's only 11 months into a 5-year contract. Atletico do need a right back. They've lost a couple. Kieran Trippier headed out, if you remember, to Newcastle in January. And then Vršalko, who's Juranovic's Croatian international teammate, like, he's gone to Olympiakos on a free at the end of his contract. So they are in the market for one, if not two, right backs. I think the only right back they've got left is a 34-year-old guy who's coming, 34, Daniel Vass, the Sweden international. So they're definitely in the market for someone to fill that role.
Yeah, another club that I was looking at their transfer business today was Ross County, because they made another signing. They've made quite a few signings so far this season. Today they signed left-back Ben Purrington, which is a very good name, a 2-year deal. He was most recently at Charlton. But when I was looking through the replies to him signing from Charlton, where he'd left at the end of his contract, there's a lot of Charlton fans saying, you know, sad to see him go, he's been a great player for us. Interesting that Ross County are in the market now, where for essentially signing what was Charlton's first choice left back.
Yeah, and it's a market Malky Mackay knows well. The majority, vast majority of the signings Malky's made since he's been at Ross County have been from the English market. It was a lot of loan signings last season. You think of Joseph Hungbo from Watford. I think there was a couple of lads up from Southampton. Goalkeeper Ashley Maynard Brewer came up from Charlton, so he knows that sort of market. And I've been quite impressed. You know, he has lost Charles Cook and he's lost Hungbo, and other loan players have gone back, and Blair Spittle has gone to Motherwell. So there's been a big turnover of players there. But the standard and quality of player that he's bringing in, there was a lad, Jordi Hewula, striker that he signed yesterday, who has got a good pedigree down there. And you can see the attraction. They get to play Premiership top flight football in Scotland. Ross County were sixth last season. They were very close to qualifying for Europe. So there's that carrot as well. Lovely part of the world to stay in. And you get to meet Dave Galloway. What more could you ask?
Exactly. That is the main attraction up there. And another signing they made as well was Jan Danda, who is a young player that was at Swansea. I think he's made over 50 appearances for Swansea. Was, I think, a couple of years ago considered one of their top prospects. Has maybe lost his way a wee bit, but they'll feel that's another coup that they've got there.
Yeah, an exciting talent, a winger. So maybe he's the guy who they're looking to provide the chances for Hewula and whoever else plays up front. Jordan White's still there, of course, from last season. So it's going to be an interesting league. You know, you look at the players Aberdeen have brought in the last few days.
Spent some good money as well.
Yeah, they have. Hibernian have brought in, what, seven or eight, including David Marshall and Aidan McGeady. Hearts again have brought in some. George Grant, the latest one from Peterborough. St Mirren have brought in about half a dozen as well. You know, you look at that spine that they've brought in. Trevor Carson, Declan Gallagher, Mark O'Hara. You know, they've got good players right the way through that team. It's going to be a fascinating league. St Johnstone as well, bringing in more players. So everybody's beginning to tool up for what will be a very interesting season.
Because so many of the teams in that sort of middle section of the league will either be desperate to hold on to the top six place that they earned last season, or they'll have that disappointment last season, whether it's Aberdeen, whether it's Hibs, other teams as well. St Mirren will have feel like they could have done better because every season we hear they're targeting top six. And so every club really looks like they're going all out this summer to make sure that they can do that, especially when there's European places up for grabs.
And I always say, I never think there's much between third place and 12th place. I know that sounds a bit ridiculous, but look at St Johnstone. To have gone from double cup winners to needing a playoff final win against Inverness to stay up. The other way around, Hearts, who came up from the Championship and finished third by the length of Gordie Road. Dundee United, fourth last season, into Europe for the first time in 9 years. But you have Jack Ross coming in saying, we've got a little bit of work to do just to stay, you know, where we are. Malky turning players over at Ross County and a side that finished top six. So the predictions, we always have a laugh at our
I'm already not looking forward to these. It was an absolute disaster from all of us across the board last season.
Tougher than ever.
Yes, well, we'll see how those go. And maybe if it gets halfway through the season and they're that bad again, we'll try and just destroy any of the evidence.
We can remind Hugh Keevans, though, there are still 12 teams in the Premiership, not 10.
Absolutely, we'll make sure he gets that right this time round. But that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you to Roger Hanna in the studio. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. So thank you for just listening in at home. I'll be back tomorrow night and I'll be in the studio with Mark Wilson. But stick around tonight because it's Callum Gallagher that's up next.